Marianne, thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me, Roger.
So up at the legislature, there was some consideration of a bill. I mean, it's a marijuana bill, really, when you get down to it.
It is. It's a pot bill. Who knew in Utah we were going to, you know, follow Colorado's lead?
Is that what we're doing? I mean, do we have dispensaries just lined up now?
Okay, so let's be clear. Let's back up a little bit. It's called plant extract.
Okay.
So it's very different. And that's actually one of the educational things that I've watched happen through this. So this bill first started getting talked about during interim session, just the very end of last year, and now has made its way through the session. It only has one more hurdle to pass, and that would be the Senate floor. It passed the House committee, House floor, Senate committee. Now it goes to the Senate floor. But it's passing, you know, almost unanimously.
Wow.
But it's not what people think it is. You know,
right.
I mean, it is our version of medical marijuana because technically it comes from the same plant, but it's an oil extract. It's called a cannabinoid.
Cannabinoid? I think so.
Yeah. CBD is what everyone calls it because no one can say that word.
Got it.
But it's a compound. And it's an interesting one. So it has none of the hallucinogenic effects, none of the typical effects that are associated with regular marijuana usage. It's not smoked. It's an oil that is typically either applied in the mouth or to something that you're eating or a drink, just a couple drops.
And it's treating
epileptic seizures.
Okay.
So there are children in Utah that have this particularly severe form of epilepsy. It's called Dravet syndrome. Mm. One of the unfortunate side effects of this is it's not only severe, but it's also very resistant to any other of the more usual epileptic drugs. And so what they found in some of the trials and some of the studies around the country is that this oil is one of the few things that can actually control the seizures in these kids. It's a really sad syndrome. I mean, it's a horrible disease. They have a mortality rate. I mean, these are kids who are probably not going to celebrate their 18th birthday. I mean, mm-hmm. It's that severe. And so this is something Gage Forer, he's a representative from up north, Weber County, Ogden area, and he had some parents come to him who had children who suffered from this particular disorder and, you know, asked for him to run this bill. And he, you know, he had to do a little heavy lifting on the front end because you can imagine our legislature is not really, you know, I mean, we can't even pull down the Zion curtain that separates you from seeing a drink be poured, you know, let alone talking about something that's coming from the marijuana or the hemp plant. I mean, it was a lot of education on the front end.
So at the beginning, there were probably worries that this was opening up the flood doors to legalizing
marijuana. Right, slippery slope. We're going to go from drops in these children's mouth to, you know, smoking pot because you, air quote, have cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was initially, that was a lot of the comments that we heard from different legislators. But as they've heard these stories, now the parents have been very effective. They've been up there on the Hill telling these personal stories, showing pictures of their kids and saying, this child will not live to be 18 if this doesn't pass. We don't know if it's, it's not necessarily a guarantee, of course, that this is going to completely solve their issue. But they're hopeful, the ones that they have seen this, have this treatment, it reduces their seizures significantly. And that's an important thing.
And so this would allow those parents, if they had a doctor's note, kind of is the idea, to import this.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have to be prescribed. Right now, the only place to get it is states that allow for medicinal marijuana in various forms, because it's considered still one of those forms. So if you need to get this, if you have a child that suffers from this particular syndrome or for other things. Now, they've also talked about that it may have some potential effects on schizophrenia as well.
Hmm.
Again, some of those really extreme cases that are non-resistant to other drugs and other medications. And another thing this is an interesting side note that a lot of the parents have talked about, is many of the epileptic drugs have really, really harsh side effects.
Yeah, phenobarbital. There's a few that in the past have been used that have really, really terrible
exactly.
effects.
And so it's almost like a balancing act between the treatment and the disease, you know, which one is actually worse.
Hmm.
And this doesn't have those same effects.
Interesting.
But yeah, they would have to get a prescription. They would have to have a doctor, and it would have to be dispensed. So, I mean, there's a lot of hurdles we're going to have to figure that out.
But as it stands, it's going to the full Senate. And if it gets passed there, then it goes to the governor's desk for signature.
It is. And there's no indication that it's going to be slowed down. It looks like it's going to pass. It's a good thing. I mean, this is where you see them actually step out of maybe what their comfort zone is and look at ways to help kids that are different than maybe what we've normally thought of. I mean, this is an outside the box thing for our legislature. You know, medical marijuana. There are a few of them up there that have said, you know, over my dead body, there's no way I'll ever pass anything like this because they have, you know, either moral opposition to it or they can't separate the realities of what this particular treatment is with the realities of actually, you know, smoking marijuana.
Well, not everything, it turns out, is black and white.
Oh.
So I wanted to actually ask you a kind of follow-up to the conversation we had yesterday. We talked about Medicaid expansion proposals that are out there. We saw another one emerge today, as a matter of fact, right?
Yeah. So now we have a fourth one on the table. So we have Speaker Lockhart's plan. We have Senator Shiazawa's plan. Both of those are 100% or lower than 100% expansion. The Speaker's plan would be no federal money. Shiazawa's would be federal money, but through a waiver. Now we have Senator Gene Davis, who is proposing a bill that would be just full Medicaid expansion. So this is the federal government's plan. This is what they were hoping states would take. Take the full money, cover 138% of the poverty level, and just run with it. You know, we'll administer it, everything.
He's put that into a bill, and he's trying to get it passed in the legislature. Does that seem like it's something that might happen?
I think long shot is a nice way to say that there's no way it's going to pass. It's not likely to get out of committee. It's going to be in committee in the morning, but that's not likely. You know, we have the governor's plan on the table, which I think even though that they know the other two, are, you know, maybe the House or the Senate prefer those other two, I think the governor's plan is feeling more and more palatable. Also in light of a brand new development this week, which happened in North Dakota. So North Dakota passed a bill very similar, from what I understand, very similar to Senator Shiazawa's bill, 100% of the poverty level, didn't expand it to that 133 as the governors would propose, or 138, which is full. And the federal government turned down their request for a waiver. They said that that's it doesn't cover enough people.
Okay, so there's a bit of a precedent there, which kind of makes you think that anything less than Governor Herbert's plan, other than Senator Gene Davis's plan, probably wouldn't meet the approval of the federal government.
Right. Right on the heels of this, it certainly takes the wind out of the sails of either one of those other 100% or lower coverage.
Okay. Not following federal guidelines and requesting waivers, the federal government, I guess, says no in that instance.
Right.
Great. Well, Marianne, we appreciate your coming in and filling us in again on all of these details. And you've only got, I think, another 4 or 5 days of doing this.
It's counting down. I'm counting down.
Well, we appreciate it. Marianne Martindale is the executive director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for a Better Utah. Thanks again.
Thank you.